Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Reiki authors Bronwyn and Fran Steiner, founders of the International House of Reiki. Find out more at www.reiki.net.au. Hi, my name's Bronwyn.
And my name is Franz.
And today we have with us Margaret Gargan. Margaret is a founder of an organisation in Australia, in Queensland, Australia, called the Bloom Hills Cancer Help. And she began that in 1997. She is also a keynote speaker at the upcoming Council of Australian Reiki Organisations Convention in August this year. Margaret is a cancer nurse specialist who is also a Reiki practitioner. And she herself has experienced breast cancer, and that inspired her to begin the Bloom Hill Cancer Help. Her aim was to develop a model of care that supports people in the way that they need to be supported. Now, my understanding is that Reiki is playing a large role in her concept of that support. So welcome, Margaret.
Thank you very much.
Let's go back to the beginning. You were a nurse in a cancer ward more than 10 years ago. So what was it that brought you to that place? Was cancer a particular interest to you? And if it was, why?
It became my grand passion. I was working in the psych unit at Prince Charles Hospital in Brisbane, and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came out to Australia for the first time, and I went to see her in the City Hall in Brisbane. And she changed my life professionally and personally forever. She actually said something that was so profound. She asked how many of us were nurses or doctors in the audience, and we were mainly nurses and female. And then she said to us, how many of you have said, please don't let him die on my shift? And that was everyone's mindset in those days. It was a long time ago. And so that changed my life forever. I started to really think about death and dying and looking after people with cancer. So I left the psych unit and went to work for Blue Nursing Service. And that's been my grand passion ever since. For 31 years, I've specialised in looking after people with cancer and people who are dying. And I was in charge of that cancer ward when I got breast cancer myself. That's 20 years ago now. And so since then, I vowed then that one day I'd set up an organisation that really supports people, how they need to be supported from the time of diagnosis onwards. And that took several years to come into fruition, but in the meantime I set up other models. So this is my fourth model of care. And I was first introduced to Reiki when I was in charge of that cancer ward at Prince Charles. It was amazing. We had this young woman who was only 26, and she had been misdiagnosed in London because she was very beautiful. She'd been a model, she was an occupational therapist, and they said it was psychosomatic. By the time she came to Australia, she was very, very ill, and she came to our ward. And I always noticed there was something really different in the room. And she used to have this, in inverted commas, this counsellor who used to come and visit her. Really stunning-looking lady with masses of red hair and just amazing aura. She used to come and visit. This young lady's mother and sister would be there, and I could sense the energy was amazing after she'd been. And that the young lady died in this very special ward that I developed, a family room where her mum and sister could be with her the whole time, and in a double bed if needed. They could cuddle. And afterwards I said to her, Mum, what was going on in that room? And she said, Reiki. And I said, what's Reiki? And she gave me a book about Reiki. And I said, well, it was just absolutely tangible. I could sense that there was something amazing happening. And what happened is Caroline was her name, the young lady. She learned how to do it, self-treat. Her mother and her sister learned how to do it as well. And so, you know, they were raking the whole time, and she had the most peaceful, beautiful day. So that was my first introduction to Reiki.
What do you think, Margaret, people with cancer actually do need as support? Because you're talking about, you know, giving them what they need. What is that?
Well, I think what it's all about is encouraging them to have their personal empowerment, but also have personal responsibility for their life and for their disease and their illness. And so I think what I feel so strongly is that if we can get to them as soon as they're diagnosed and start giving Reiki immediately and all the other complementary therapies like massage, reflexology, counselling, support groups, meditation, all of those things that complement orthodox medicine, then it's a very different ball game. And we've proven that through Bloom Hill, because we're now getting people who ring up the minute they're diagnosed and say, I've just been diagnosed. And so we see them immediately and we start teaching them coping skills and we support them right throughout. And one of the major things within Bloom Hill is rehabilitation. People get well and, you know, we actually had a young man who came, he was not that young actually, he was 57 when he first came to us, and he'd been diagnosed with leukemia in Canada 18 years before. Refused to have his spleen removed, and so the surgeon told him in the most brutal way possible how he was going to die. He had been waiting to die for 18 years, had not worked in all of that time. So he came to Bloom Hill and accessed everything that we had to offer, and after 12 months he came to me and he said, I'm ready to go back to work. I'm feeling just a totally different person. So he now is working full-time as a town planner after having been away from it for 18 years. So rehabilitation is a major part of the role of Bloom Hill as well.
Mm.
That's fantastic, yeah. So how do you implement the system of Reiki in the organisation?
Well, we have a wonderful nurse called Nikki De Silva, registered nurse, who is a Reiki master. And we also had a counsellor called Susie O'Neill, who is a Reiki master as well. And what happened with Susie, she used to do a counselling session and then do Reiki following that. And honestly, the results of that was unbelievably beneficial, amazing. And Nikki works as a registered nurse, but she also works as a Reiki master. And she's actually taught a lot of the other staff, like our other registered nurses, the manager of care there now. She has done Reiki 1 and 2. And the social worker who heads up the volunteer training program and volunteer program has done Reiki 1 and 2 as well. So, and there's a lot, she has a lot of other volunteer Reiki practitioners who work with her. And Nikki does go into the hospitals as well, which is brilliant. So if she's looking after someone and that person goes into hospital, she goes into the hospital and gives them Reiki. So it's just been so amazing, really beneficial.
So there is like an ongoing support for the people who come in?
Yes. And it's not just the person with cancer. We care for the whole family. And so it's just, you know, you have to look after the body, mind and spirit of the whole family. And so that's what happens. And I know with Nikki, she's very, very, very talented. She's amazing, really amazing.
How does Bloom Hill work? Where do you get money from to actually do all of this?
Well, when I started it, it's 10 years old in September now. When I first started, I was determined to be self-funded. And so we have never, ever accepted government funding, because if you do, you're in a box and you can't turn around, you can't jump out, you know. And that's the beauty of this model, is that it can be so flexible and we can really meet the needs of the people. So when I first started, I was determined to be self-funded. And so I started an opportunity shop, which is a place where people donate all the goods and you sell it fairly cheaply, and that's was always our major source of income. And the first year my budget was $36,000, but last year it reached $1 million. So we have 5 op shops and a warehouse, and they bring in at least $70,000 a month. So that allowed us to give the care that we wanted to give. And we kept all of our fees very, very minimal. When someone comes in to be assessed by a registered nurse, the fee is $25 for a single person and $40 for a family. But that entitles that family or that person to a free massage, an introductory massage. And then our support groups are only $5, meditations only $5. If we're looking after children, we can't charge at all, because what happened when I had breast cancer, my children were 13 and 10, and I had to go back and work in, I chose to go back and work in that oncology unit in charge of it again. And no one looked after my children emotionally. I was trying to survive, trying to work, and the repercussions of that were really, really extremely difficult. My eldest daughter ended up in a psychiatric unit when she was in her 20s, early 20s. She's fabulous now, but, you know, it really was bad. So I'm passionate about caring for children because they're often left out of the equation and they really need to be supported and nurtured. So what we have at Bloom, who is the most amazing art therapist, called Juliet Khalifa, and Juliet works with the children. She does art therapy with them. We've had a little boy who's been with us for 8 years now having art therapy. And if we look after children, we don't charge, we don't discuss money at all if children are involved.
I think as well what you said before, that, you know, you have to look at the whole family, because often the family gets really stressed if the parent or the child has cancer, and then you really need to support the whole group environment.
Exactly. I'm passionate about that because, you know, so often the carers have been neglected, and the carers go through just as much, or we recognise it, and sometimes it goes through even worse than the person, because the person's going through treatment and they're involved, and the carer has to watch their loved one go through that. So at Bloom Hill, we focus on the whole family, as you know, but also with the carers, they have a separate group, support group for carers. So they can come and say how they're feeling, and we also have retreats for carers and for clients, but separately, so that they can have time out. And that's amazing. That really does make such a difference.
And Margaret, you would know about being a carer as well, because you've also been in that position yourself, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Mm. What happened when my father was dying? He was 92, and I didn't know him very well. He was 52 when I was born. I only got to know him when I got cancer. He was 90 then, and he came and looked after me. And then when it was time to look after him, it was just amazing. I actually realised that by the time he did die, I did everything for him in the hospital with my brother and my niece. And by the time he died, I had not one single regret. And so I knew after he had died that that would be my life's work, teaching others how to facilitate no regrets, because it's the if onlys that cripple us. If only I'd said this, or if only I'd done that. And that, to me, is the art of integrated medicine. And that's the title of my book I'm writing at the moment, Facilitating No Regrets, The Art of Integrative Medicine. It's just my passion.
Margaret, so you set up Bloom Hill,
yes.
And I know that you sound so passionate. What are your plans then for involving integrative therapies into cancer help and support?
I sort of know that right throughout my life it's been stepping stones, and now I live in Cairns. And it's my home country because I come from Atherton. And so I'm back in my soul place, really. And I've had 12 months off almost. Next month I have 12 months off. So I'm wanting to set up a cancer health centre up here. And where I live at the moment is the most exquisite property on 10 acres, and 7 acres of that is a saltwater lake. So it's paradise, absolutely paradise. So at the moment I'm going through, you know, all the ropes and having to go to council and things like that, and hopefully we'll be able to set one up here. No matter what, if we don't do it here, we'll do it somewhere. Because I actually ran into a lovely young doctor that used to be working with me at Prince Charles. He was my resident and then came back as a registrar when I was in charge of that cancer ward. And I ran into him up here, and he's the haematologist at Cairns Base Hospital. And he's equally passionate about what Bloom Hill represents. And he wants that. And actually all the health professionals see the need for it. And so we're all working together to get something happening. I'm starting an op shop for another organisation that's a very moral, wonderful organisation called Couch, which is looking after the oncology unit at Cairns Base Hospital. And so I'm working with them. And I'm writing my book. And I'm just having to really get stuck into it. And that's my 31 years of caring for people that I have, you know, basically dedicated my last 31 years to that. So it's a lot of my anecdotal experiences, my philosophy, and I hope to have it ready by the time I come down for conference. But but that might be a bit of a big ask, but that's my goal. So I'm hoping to get it done by then and launch it at the conference.
Oh, well, I'm sure that everybody who's coming along would absolutely love to see that and read it. There's also an organisation of yours in the Blue Mountains in New South Wales that you started off?
I went down there for 3 months and helped them set up Blue Mountains Cancer Help, and it's self-funded like we are, and it's doing wonderful work. It just is amazing. When I did set up Bloom Hill, I set it up as a transportable model that can go anywhere in the world, really, so long as people are self-funded. You know, if you take government funding, then you sell your soul and you can't be as flexible and give the care that's needed.
And from everything that you've spoken about, I get a feeling that your aim and the aim of this support is to give a quality of life.
Exactly. The emphasis is on quality of life and living, nothing to do with death and dying. You know, and so it really works so beautifully. The PowerPoint presentation that I will be presenting at the conference of Bloom Hill was done by, I had 6 students on placement all at once, and I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And so we did a client satisfaction survey together. I guided them and we worked together, and it just really blew us away, the results of it. I'll just sort of share with you, we had a carers retreat with Susie O'Neill, and I conducted this retreat. And on the Sunday morning, I said, well, now we really have to have a discussion that's going to be a little bit painful and a bit difficult. And I said, we're going to talk about death and dying. And it just opened them up. And one lady was saying, oh, I'm just so concerned. She said, my husband's really low now, and I don't know what to do. We're to have the celebration of his life. And I said, well, let's have it at Bloom Hill. That's what I do. Bloom Hill is your centre, so we can have the celebration of his life there. And she was like, oh, she was just so grateful. And I said, I will conduct the celebration of his life with you, for you. So that was on the Sunday. On the Wednesday, she came to Bloom Hill with her husband, who was dying, and her 2 daughters. And we sat down together and planned the celebration of his life. And it was just so beautiful, because I could read prose that I was going to say, you know, things like success. And I read it to him, and he said, you know, you're right, I am a very successful person and I have achieved a lot in my life. So it was just fabulous to be able to sit down and plan it with him. And then he died not long after that, the next week. And then we had the celebration of his life on our deck, on our beautiful deck at Bloom Hill. And it was just so healing. It was wonderful. So there was no regrets there. You know, everything was finished and completed and beautifully, done beautifully.
Thank you, Margaret. That's a lovely note to finish on. I'm sure that the people who are in Australia and who are interested in Reiki would love to come to the convention to see you speak there, and I hope to see everyone there as well. So thank you very much, and we'll see you in August.
And thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Margaret.